This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I begin by praising Allah Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, the Majestic. And I ask Him to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Messenger, the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, his family members, his companions, and every single person who embraces the prophetic path with ikhlas, with sincerity, until the end of time. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, I begin by enjoining upon myself on this blessed Friday, and then all of you all gathered here for Salatul Jum'ah, to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to instill in your lives, into every facet of your lives, the consciousness of your Maker, Allah Rabbul Alameen. And you must do this, O brother. You must do this, O sister, in faith. If you wish to attain, if you wish to reap victory and success in this world as well as the next, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. As the sands of the year 2023 slip through our fingers, and the promise of the year 2024 shimmers in the horizon, we stand at crossroads, and it is at this juncture, it is a time for deep reflection. It is a time for introspection. I want each and every one of you watching me, listening to me, to shed the skin of the old year with its regrets, with its doubts, with its fears, with its anxieties. And I want you all to prepare yourselves mentally, emotionally, and physically to step into the brand new year 2024, donning the armor of Ihsan, as we will discuss in just a bit, and holding the shield of Sabr, otherwise translated as patience. My dear brothers and sisters, a new dawn approaches us, inshallah ta'ala, carrying with it the promise of new chapters, fresh beginnings, uncharted waters, uncharted territories, and the potential for even greater victories by each and every one of us, inshallah ta'ala. You have to understand that in our lives, much like in a year's cycle, we experience seasons of triumph and trial. We experience seasons of victory and defeat. We experience seasons of profit and loss. Therefore, understanding the psychology of a champion, not just in the realms of sport and competition, but in our sacred journey of faith, I would say, is essential, especially in our current times. Many of us grapple with mental health issues, and these issues are often shrouded in silence and stigma. Depression, anxiety, stress, a drowning sense of overwhelming negativity and despair, these are all realities that afflict many of us. Yet they remain topics shrouded in silence. These invisible struggles, often masked by a facade of normalcy. A lot of us, we wear masks. I'm not talking about the masks that people used to wear during COVID. Some of us still do. I'm talking about masks of normalcy. There are those of us, every single day in the morning, we wear these masks as we step out. These masks of normalcy that we try to use to cover these invisible struggles, these invisible struggles that affect each and every one of us, either directly or indirectly, or through the experiences of those we love. And my dear brothers and sisters, from amongst these trials is the profound and deeply personal pain of losing loved ones. The passing away of a mother. The passing away of a father, who have been our first sources of tender love, care, and guidance, leaves an abyss in our lives, leaves a void, an emptiness that cannot be replaced. It leaves this emptiness filled with memories and unspoken words. The loss of a beautiful child. I know those who have lost daughters. I know those who have lost sons. For a parent to go inside the qabr, inside the grave, and lay to rest his daughter, lay to rest his son. An unimaginable sorrow, an aching pain. Why? Because it shatters the natural order of life. But that is death. It doesn't come as per the natural order. You see, when a son, a child has to go into the grave to lay his father to rest, it is painful, yes, but it is as per the natural order of life. The son knows inevitably, my father is going to pass away. But when a parent, when a father has to go into the grave to lay to rest his young son, in the prime of their lives, it is painful. It is a very painful ordeal. Allahu Akbar. It leaves the parents, the mother and the father, in a state of enduring heartache. Losing a sibling, a brother, a sister, with whom you shared your mother's womb, with whom you shared a lifetime of happy moments, or a dear friend perhaps, who has been a companion in your journey, who has been with you. This brings a unique emptiness, a blend of grief, loneliness, and sometimes a drowning sense of despair. Each of these losses, my dear brothers and sisters, is not just a statistic in the passage of time. They're deeply personal chapters in our life story, chapters that often remain hidden behind the veil of our hearts. These are the sorrows that we carry silently. If I were to ask for a show of hands, I often say this, as to whether any of us in the crowd, myself included, as to we could raise our hands and say, you know what, Sheikh, I don't have a single sorrow in my life. None of us can raise our hands. Why? We've all lost a loved one. We are all going through battles, fights and struggles. We are fighting demons. We are fighting our own battles, each and every one of us. And this is part and parcel of life. Yet, in the midst of all of this, our faith, our iman, offers a beacon of hope, a lighthouse of hope, a shining light, a guiding light. So as we bid farewell to the year gone by, 2023, and welcome this new year, 2024, let us open our hearts to understanding. Let us open our hearts to healing. My sermon today, titled The Champion Mindset, Unleashing Your Inner Gladiator of Faith, inshallah ta'ala, is to discuss the psychological landscapes of a champion's mindset. Why? Because the champion mindset, the believer's champion mindset, is not just about triumphing over external challenges. It is about also navigating the internal landscapes of our minds, our hearts, and our souls. Landscapes that are marked by both joy and sorrow, victory and loss, victory and defeat. This mindset, my dear brothers and sisters, is so important because it is beautifully intertwined with the Islamic teachings of Ihsan and the Islamic teachings of Sabr. So inshallah ta'ala, without any further ado, I want to get into the content. At the very introduction of the sermon, I want you all to imagine stepping into this colossal stadium, a colossal arena. The air around you, if you are an athlete, is crackling with anticipation. You can hear the roar of the crowd cheering, a distant hum against the pounding of your own heart. Why? You're about to face a challenge. You're about to engage. So your heart pounding and thumping, you stand at this precipice of a challenge, a test of your will, a test of your focus, a test of your discipline, a test of your strength, a test of your very being. But this arena that I'm talking about, this stadium that I'm talking about, the trophies, my dear brothers and sisters, are not made of gold or silver. They're not gold medals, silver medals, but the trophies are of unwavering faith. Victories are not measured in cheers and applause, but in the quiet whispers with the Almighty. My dear brothers and sisters, welcome to the stadium of the champion's mindset. Welcome to the heart of the champion. I want to, inshallah ta'ala, touch on a few powerful psychological aspects of the champion's heart. Because the champion's heart is not forged by sweat alone. It is forged, it is this intricate landscape of very powerful psychological threads. You have the unwavering focus of a champion, like a laser beam cutting through distractions, cutting through the noise, cutting through the chaos around them. That is the focus of a champion. The champion locks onto his or her goal, locks onto his or her prize, eyes fixed on the prize, unfazed by the noise. Because today we live in a world, a lot of noise around you, a lot of chaos around you, a lot of negativity around you, a lot of voices around you trying to tear you down. But the mindset of a champion focuses on the goal, focuses on the prize. Just like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he came at a time when the world was filled with darkness, but he was a beacon of light, a lighthouse. He shone bright and he guided the ummah out of darkness. He guided the companions out of darkness. You had individuals like Umar ibn al-Faruq, Umar al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. You had individuals like Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu anhu. You see Umar radiyallahu anhu, an individual, you know the stories. He was an individual, he was an individual, past tense, who would drink regularly. Who would drink regularly, he would frequent the clubs on a daily basis. He had the intent to put an end to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But look at the transformative power of our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Look at the leadership qualities of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Look at how he helped these individuals rise from the ashes. And today, where is Umar radiallahu anhu? You tell me, where is he? He's buried right next to our leader Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. An individual who was drowning in darkness, in the abyss of intoxication, an individual who had the intent to kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, look at how he transformed him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is the focus of a champion. Then you have the intrinsic motivation of a champion. A champion's fuel, you know, you have your vehicles that are fueled by petrol, by diesel. A champion's fuel is not fame or fortune. Eventually those things come in and blur the lines perhaps. But generally speaking, a champion is not fueled by fame or fortune. Those come regardless. A champion is fueled by the fire of their own passion. They are driven by this deep-seated desire to excel. To excel. Have you ever spoken to a champion? Have you ever sat down with a champion? It is never enough for them. It is never enough for them. It starts perhaps locally, and then eventually internationally, and then eventually globally, they're looking for peaks to climb, to rise, to excel. They don't settle. They never settle for mediocre. And this should be the mindset of a believer. Never settle. You're always looking for peaks to climb, peaks to summit. Intrinsic motivation. This is the concept of ihsan. Striving for excellence. What is the point of us as believers talking about ihsan in a very shallow way? You should embrace it. With regards to any aspect of your life, or rather with regards to every aspect of your life, strive for excellence upon excellence. Then you have the power of discipline. A champion does not become a champion without discipline. And a champion understands that victory is a marathon. It is not a sprint. It is a marathon. You have to bring in discipline. You have to commit to rigorous training. Have you ever read or watched videos perhaps on the training of champions? You have to commit. Not just to rigorous training, to a very disciplined diet. You can't just indulge in whatever you want to indulge and then expect to be a champion. You have to train hard, eat clean, discipline yourself. These are the teachings of Islam. Can you eat whatever you want to eat? Can you become lazy? Can you become sluggish? Look at the words of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A strong believer is more beloved unto Allah than a weak believer. Words of the Messenger, not my words. But we as a nation, have we not become lazy? Have we not become sluggish? Have we not become known to overeat? Are we all not walking with pot bellies? I have never, ever come across a description of a Sahabi, a companion of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with a pot belly. With a pot belly. They were all tapered individuals. Not that they were looking to compete in some Mr. World fitness competition. In general, they were individuals who were fit, who ate healthy, who were not lazy, who were focused. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the description of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His chest and his stomach was one line, but for us it goes like this. Umar radiallahu anhu, he spots an individual with a big tummy. He asks the man, Ya Rajul, ma hadha? What on earth is this? The man, he laughs and says, Hadha barakatum min Allah. This is barakah from Allah. The Prophet sallallahu, Umar radiallahu anhu says, No, it is not barakah, but rather it is adab min Allah. It is a punishment from Allah. Allahu Akbar. So my dear brothers and sisters, the discipline of a champion, and you see it not just in training and diet, you will see it eventually now coming into the mindset of these individuals. Look at the Sahaba, their commitment to the Quran. You know, today it has become a feat for youngsters to, for example, memorize the Quran as soon as possible. As soon as possible. And even parents, they tend to brag and boast. Oh, my son became a Hafidh al-Quran in 1 year. My daughter became a Hafidh al-Quran in 6 months, in 3 months, in 2 years. Well and good. MashaAllah. May Allah protect the guardians of the Quran. Ameen. But the Sahaba had a completely different approach. They used to commit to the study of the Quran to the extent that some of them took a lifetime perhaps. Why? Because they would take an ayah, they would take a verse, they would study it, they would commit it to memory, they would implement it in their lives, and then move on to the next verse. They were basically walking Qur'ans. Now you and I today, in our time and era, we have many Huffadh al-Qur'an, many guardians of the Qur'an, but unfortunately the Qur'an has not gone beyond the lips and the tongues. We need to embrace the Quran into our lives. And this was the commitment of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Moving on, psychological aspects of a champion. Silencing the inner critic. Every champion has a doubter, a voice inside that keeps on whispering, "You cannot do it. You cannot do it." This negative voice, it can be from shaitan, it can be from our own nufus, from our own nafs, the negativity within. You must learn to silence these inner voices. And this is why we seek the help of Allah also in the Quran. Min sharril waswasil khannas. From the evil whispers. Because you know why? You might be thinking, well, this whisper is not necessarily evil. It becomes evil and toxic when it drags you down. When it brings in low self-esteem. When you don't have confidence to move forward. When you want to try something, the voice inside you says, "Oh, but you are a failure. You've failed. You've lost. You can't. You can't. You're physically not able to do it. You are a loser. You're this. You're that. Oh, look at that person. That person's better than you." This voice in our heads can drive us crazy. It can cause low self-esteem where you don't have the confidence to move forward. It took so many tries to come up with the light bulb, my dear brothers and sisters. Hundreds, if not almost close to 1,000 tries. So you have to understand that you should not give up. And you must learn to silence that inner critic. You must transform that inner critic within you into a positive coach. A coach who coaches you forward, who motivates you forward, who pushes you through the dark valleys of defeat and loss to help you summit towards the peaks of victory. The Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, we see in his story that perhaps he must have been plagued by such voices when his siblings dumped him into a well. The bottom of a well. Just imagine how the voices must have overpowered him. That, oh, your own siblings, your own blood, they threw you into a well. No one's coming to get you. No one's coming to rescue you. And he was a young boy. And then eventually when help comes, what was the help? People who kidnapped him, took him to another land and sold him as a slave in a marketplace. Subhanallah. One day a free young boy, the apple of his father's eye, and the next day being sold in the marketplace as a slave in an unknown and foreign land. And now he's in the household of some stranger as a slave. Just imagine the voices that must have plagued that young mind, that young heart. But did he give up? Did he give up? His story is a stark reminder for each and every one of us that he reminded himself that Allah is with me. Allah is with me. And Allah took him through all those trials. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. You know the story, the trial of seduction, the lady of the house trying to seduce him, and he was framed. He was not guilty, but he was framed and then thrown into prison. Years, فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. He remained in prison for years, an innocent young man in prison. And then eventually he surfaces, eventually he comes out, and he rises to power. He rises to power, and a dream that he saw in his childhood. Inni ra'aytu ahada 'ashara kawkaban wash-shamsa wal-qamara ra'aytuhum li sajidin. He goes to his father and he says, "Indeed, I saw 11 stars. I saw the sun and the moon, all these celestial objects in sujood unto me." This was before he was thrown into the well. The father, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, a very wise individual. He knows what is in store for the son. But see, that rise was preceded by trials, was preceded by challenges. It was not just served on a silver platter. So champions know, they know, to reach the peaks, you have to be forged in the furnace of trials, in the furnace of challenges. Just as how, I'm sure the gem traders in the crowd would relate, you have a rough stone. for that stone to shine and for every facet to be visible, it has to go through a shining process. I don't know the terms for it. It has to go through a cutting process, and then it comes out the other side a diamond. It comes out the other side a jewel. It comes out the other side a blue sapphire, perhaps. A champion, coming back to the mindset of a champion cultivates gratitude. A champion knows that every step, every victory, every breath is a gift from Allah. My dear brothers and sisters, we have taken so much for granted. Today, if you woke up in the morning and if you were able to go to the washroom, to the toilet, and relieve yourself without feeling excruciating pain, do you know how much you have to be thankful for? I'm sure you know of those of us within our community suffering from renal issues, kidneys shutting down, kidney failure, and therefore they have to strap themselves to a machine. They have to undergo dialysis on a regular basis to do the same things that your kidneys are right now doing within your body, even without you realizing it. Subhanallah. If your kidneys start to shut down, it's a painful process. The fact that you and I, my dear brothers and sisters, I want you all to do this for me. Take a deep breath. The fact that you can take this deep breath, inhale and exhale, without feeling any excruciating pain in your lungs, without feeling as if there's a tight band around your lungs, is a huge blessing from Allah. Do you know there are those of us who are hungry for air? They can't take a deep breath. They can't go to the washroom and relieve themselves without feeling excruciating pain. You know how much we have to be thankful unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So much. Do you know there are people strapped with bags onto their bodies to relieve themselves because they've undergone surgeries? Many of us. There could be even those of us seated in the crowd, subhanallah. May Allah ease your affairs. Ameen. So if you have not been tested in such a way, then how much you have to be thankful for? How much of gratitude must you and I cultivate? So let us make gratitude part and parcel of our lives, my dear brothers and sisters. So as you can see, a champion's journey is not a linear path to triumph. It is a dance of victory and defeat. It is a dance of joy and sorrow. You have the peaks of victory and the valleys of defeat. So I was talking about the mindset of a champion. When this champion goes through defeat, undergoes loss, the champion embraces sabr. The sabr that Allah teaches us, sabrun jameel. The champion cultivates acceptance, not denial. A champion knows that defeat is a natural part of the journey. A champion knows that loss is a natural part of the journey. They avoid the trap of denial. They embrace the lessons hidden within the setbacks. Look at the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Battle of Uhud. You know of the setbacks. But did he go into denial? No. They used it as stepping stones to transform, to rise, to summit peaks of victory. A champion learns from every fall. Every stumble is an opportunity to rise stronger. A champion learns from his or her mistakes, identifies areas for improvement, and works on those areas, and rises again stronger, rises from the ashes stronger. Allahu Akbar. And the champions, they are those who find strength in support. A champion knows that he or she cannot walk alone. A champion needs a strong support system, be it family, be it friends, be it the community. And that is why we have the Ummah as a community. We are a support system for one another. I want you all, as I leave you all, as I conclude, to think of the story of Sumayya radiallahu anha. Many of us, we grew up knowing that she was the first person to have sacrificed her life for Islam. But a lot of us don't know that she was from Habasha. She was from Abyssinia or modern day Ethiopia. She was a slave. Sumayya radiallahu anha, a famous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She, you have to understand, at that time the society in Makkah, they were highly tribalistic. They were very much into this tribal system. Sumayya radiallahu anha was a slave who was married to Yasir radiallahu anhu. Now Yasir radiallahu anhu was a man from Yemen who had come to Makkah to look for his lost brother. In the process, he decided to settle in Makkah, and he has no tribe. He does not belong to a tribe. He's from Yemen. He seeks protection from a man named Abu Hudhaifa al-Mughira. And then he marries Sumayya radiallahu anha. And then the couple, they have a child named Ammar radiallahu anhu, their son. And he was a young man at that time. So from this you have to understand, they were neither slaves, nor were they independent. They were in this limbo status. They were extremely vulnerable because they did not have a tribe to back them. Okay? And their family was serving Abu Hudhaifa, the man who had given them protection, his tribe, the tribe known as Banu Makhzum. Now Banu Makhzum was one of the most powerful tribes in Makkah. And they were a tribe highly resistant to the tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Banu Hashim. And you have to understand, my dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand the dynamics quickly. Do you remember the first 7 people to embrace Islam? I'm sure most of you would have studied in your Islam books at some point. The first 7 people to embrace Islam. Out of the 7, only Khadija radiallahu anha and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had tribes to back them. No one could touch them because they had tribes, powerful tribes backing them. The remaining 5 did not have tribes. Bilal radiallahu anhu, Sumayya radiallahu anha, Yasir radiallahu anhu, all were individuals who did not have tribes backing them. And because of this, they were subject to so much of oppression, so much of torment, so much of punishment. Allahu Akbar. You know of Bilal radiallahu anhu, a boulder used to be placed on his chest, but yet he would repeat, Al-Ahad, 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 the champion mindset. Sumayya radiallahu anha, she was undeterred. And you know, the tribe that they were serving, Banu Makhzum, you know who else was from Banu Makhzum? Abu Jahl. Ring any bells? Abu Jahl. And he used to subject Sumayya radiallahu anha to different forms of torture and punishment. He would experiment with her. Allahu Akbar. Experiment with her. Experiment different types of punishment and torture. And she used to annoy him because each time he would subject her to some kind of punishment, she would remember Allah and be in dhikr remembering Allah. And this would annoy him. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he would pass by their family being subject to punishment, he could not do anything. His hands were tied sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he would say, "Be patient, Ya Allah, Yasir, oh family of Yasir, be patient. You have a place in Jannah. You have a place in Jannah." This was the support system that they fell back onto, my dear brothers and sisters. This beautiful family was one day tied to tree trunks, the trunks of trees, all within the view of each other. And after torturing them for days on end, Yasir radiallahu anhu was about to die. He looks like he's about to die. No nourishment, out there in the sun, tied to a tree trunk. Abu Jahl turns to Sumayya radiallahu anha and says, "Your husband is going to die before you, and you will probably be happy when he dies because you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much." Obviously, he did not say salawat. I'm saying it. He says, "Because you love Muhammad so much, no sooner your husband dies, you can marry Muhammad." Sumayya radiallahu anha, at this insult, she spits and she says, "O enemy of Allah, may you be humiliated by Allah. What a vulgar and foul person you are. You are smaller to me in my eyes than a cockroach, than a beetle that I would step on the ground." Hearing this, Abu Jahl flies into a rage. He takes his spear and flings it towards the lower abdominal region of Sumayya radiallahu anha, killing her on the spot, making her the first shaheed, the first martyr to die for the sake of Allah. But my dear brothers and sisters, what I want to highlight here is there's so much to learn from the story of Sumayya radiallahu anha. Sumayya radiallahu anha believed the promise of the Prophet to be true, and it gave her the strength. It gave her that laser focus. It gave her the courage to persist. The champion mindset gave her sabr, gave her patience as they went through these trying ordeals. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, as I conclude, remember, the champion's journey is not one, it is not a one-dimensional climb to victory. Like I said earlier, it is a dance between the peaks of victory, between the peaks of achievement and the shadowed valleys of loss, the shadowed valleys of disappointment. But within each challenge lies an opportunity to rise and grow. Within each stumble lies an opportunity to rise and to grow, to learn and to emerge stronger, more resilient, and more closer unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I conclude by praying, Ya Allah, grant us the strength to face our trials with courage and wisdom. Ya Allah, guide our hearts on the path of truth and light, Ya Allah. Ya Rabb, we turn to you in moments of sorrow and loss. Shower upon us your mercy and your healing. Comfort the hearts of those who have lost loved ones, Ya Allah, who have lost their children, Ya Allah, who have lost their parents, Ya Allah, and fill their lives with your infinite peace and light. Ya Allah, grant us the sabr, patience, and grant us the shukr, gratitude and prosperity. Help us through the challenges of life with unwavering faith, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbul Alameen, Lord of all worlds, bless our country with unity. Bless our country with love and compassion. Bless our community, strengthen our bonds, and help us to support one another in times of need, celebrating joys together and sharing burdens as one ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, Ash-Shafi, the healer of the hearts, we pray for those amongst us struggling with mental health issues, with mental health challenges. Grant them strength, grant them hope and the courage to seek help. Help us to be a source of support and understanding for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, just as how you united us here in this masjid, in this house of Allah, unite us in the beautiful and lofty gardens of Jannah, in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and bless us all to drink at the Hawd, at the fountain, through the blessed hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wayan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.